Since we're talking books, a love triangle, New York City dating etiquette, and the competitive world of academia are some threads woven together in a new novel titled Going Dutch. The debut novel by author James Greger includes detailed descriptions of a wide range of contemporary dating rituals, from how best to present yourself in an online dating profile, to best texting practices, to, yes, going Dutch on dates. The main character, Richard, is trying to work on his PhD in medieval Italian literature. His story is told both with humor and an air of heartbreak and offers readers a deep dive into the complex nature of all relationships, platonic and otherwise. I'm very pleased that James Greger is able to join us today. Hi, James.
Hi there.
So you don't waste any time letting your readers know that one of Richard's issues is writer's block. Why did you decide to start this way?
Well, you always need your protagonist to have some kind of issue. They always need to be confronting something. And I was interested in setting the book in kind of an academic environment, and in an environment where he would have a colleague who would be both a kind of professional rival and a professional help, and then there would be a romantic aspect which would kind of complicate things between them. So that's kind of the background of why he has that problem.
Now, you write about contemporary life in New York City in such a vivid and precise way. Will you read an excerpt from the beginning of the book that sort of sets the tone?
Certainly. As he took the train back downtown in a fresh white shirt under a pilling blue sweater and wearing the tennis shoes he had cleaned using Windex, Richard wondered if the guy he was going to meet would resemble his OkCupid profile pictures. People so often didn't. The challenge of presenting oneself on screen, widely considered a prerequisite for a full life in the early 21st century, flustered many, including Richard. There was either too much self-promotion of a flavorless, unoriginal kind, the guy in front of the Parthenon or the Eiffel Tower, or a depressing lack of artifice, obligatory body shot in the speckled bathroom mirror, the guy smiling beside a buffet, wearing a shapeless suit, his arm around a woman who looked like his wife. One of Richard's fantasies was telling the love of his life that he'd signed onto the website on a whim after yet another disheartening date, and there you were. But like all fantasies, it derived its power from its robustly chimerical nature, its palpable utopianism and unreality.
Was there a reason you decided this needed to happen in New York City, this novel?
Yeah, I wanted it to happen in, I mean, I love New York City, and I love writing about New York City, and it's just, it's a place that's so full of sensory detail, and, you know, the people, and the architecture, and then the history, and there's just so much to work with if you're a writer, which is, I think, one of the reasons so many great stories are set in New York. And I wanted it to be about people who are kind of confronted with just endless options in their lives, in terms of, you know, food and entertainment and, you know, what they want to do, but also so that they're also paralyzed by this choice. My main character, Richard, he loves New York and he feels like there's so much at his fingertips, but he can't quite get to it. Mm-hmm. And that's part of the reason why he develops this relationship with the character of Anne, because she's a very wealthy person and she can kind of give him a route into this sort of high life, high society world that Richard is attracted to. So it really had to be set in a city where that was possible and where there was just a lot of variety and there was this feeling that you could be lost in a crowd, but maybe there was someone who would pick you out of that crowd and who would sort of give you your individuality back.
My guest is James Greger. We're talking about his new novel, Going Dutch. And as the title suggests, there's this question of money. And you mentioned that Anne has got money and Richard does not. And you decide in the book, the bills are often split over meals, and it happens a couple over and over again in the book. Why was this a kind of theme that you wanted to return to, and what a symbolism do those bill-splitting moments hold?
Well, I guess I wanted to explore the sort of, I guess, double-edged nature of romance when you're in a city like New York City, which is so expensive, and so there, when you're conducting a romantic relationship or you're entering into a romantic relationship, you know, there are these kind of practical steps that have to be confronted. For example, who will take care of the bill at the end of the meal? And I think, you know, whatever the result of that, whatever that decision is, can often have kind of a symbolic resonance, you know, for the people involved, for the couple. Does one of the members of the couple, you know, decide to pay, or does the other, or do they always split the bill? And maybe what that means in terms of the transactional nature that of romance when you're living in a city where there's all these kind of financial pressures and social pressures that maybe are really inserting themselves into your personal life like that.
Yes, and go ahead, yeah. Continue.
Oh, and I was just going to say, and I think sort of restaurant culture, that it's that setting of two people over a meal, it's such a pregnant situation, you know, that the conversation that can take place, the kind of food that someone would choose, the fact that you're in a room with a lot of other people. So yeah, it just had a lot of potential for me as a situation.
It's interesting that you said that word transactional, because that was one of the lines that we pulled out of the book. You write that friendship was more transactional than most cared to admit. How do you think this novel reveals the transactional nature of relationships, platonic or otherwise?
Well, I think in the relationship between Richard and Anne, it shows you that there can be other motives, you know, for a relationship to develop. At least at the beginning of the book, Richard really sees spending time with Anne. He doesn't really necessarily want to. He's attracted to another man, in fact. But he sees that she is a brilliant academic who might be able to help him overcome his own writer's block, and she has these financial resources, which might be a way for him to kind of live this life that he's always wanted to live. So, but then throughout the book, you know, the relationship becomes more complicated and it deepens. So, I think one of the themes that I wanted to explore was the way that these initially transactional relationships can, you know, develop into something else, and that the connections that we have in our lives might not be the connections that we had originally thought we would have. And there's always a kind of unexpected quality to that, especially in a city like New York, where you're meeting so many new people all the time. And there's that sort of flux of life that you're in the midst of.
My guest is James Greger. The name of his novel is Going Dutch. And we don't want to give away any spoilers, but there are these ideas about love straddling sexual orientation and the typical boundaries between friendship and romance. What did you want to explore about love versus something like codependence or versus being transactional?
Well, yeah, well, I wanted to discuss and examine the liberatory or the nature of love, the way that love can really redeem, you feel like love can kind of redeem you in a way. I think how I tried to show that in the book a few times was by evoking this sense of being lost that Richard could have in New York, in a city, you know, where you sometimes can feel like you're just one of 8.5 million people, you know, and no one sees you, and you're lost and you're an insignificant speck. But that if only one other person were to pick you out, were to kind of decide that it was you, that, you know, you were the person that they were going to love, that would, in a sense, really change the world. So I think I was interested in that, you know, power of love to kind of be transformational in someone's life. And not necessarily just romantic love in that sense that maybe we understand it, but the love of friends, because Richard has this sort of several people in the book that he loves in different ways, and all of those relationships kind of function in a different way. But I think he always feels this sense of the potential loss of love, if he were to stop being loved, then in a sense he would really be lost.
Now, part of the novel is set at your alma mater, Columbia. Were you busy, you know, jotting down notes the whole time? If I ever write a novel about this thing I just saw on the green in the library steps?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's definitely like, I mean, I find all of New York City to be, you know, so evocative and as, you know, it's so ripe as a setting for kind of situation. But definitely, I think a college campus is a great kind of setting because there's something self-enclosed about it, and especially Columbia itself, you know, it has this self-enclosed campus on Morningside Heights, so you can kind of have a little kind of ecosystem in there, and you know, it won't necessarily kind of have its own cast and its own characters that are associated with that location. So yeah, I definitely wanted to get details of Morningside Heights and the campus and kind of use them to really evoke the place. Yeah.
You got a great blurb from Gary Steingard. It says, every once in a while, a novel of simply unremitting goodness lands on your front porch, and Going Dutch is one of the best of the best. Who's good in your book? We have only about a minute left. What's the goodness you think he's talking about?
Well, I think the goodness is this sort of potential of love to be transformative, mm-hmm. and the fact that, you know, something genuine can come out of circumstances which maybe initially seem to be ungenuine or just transactional, that you know, there is a potential real connection between people even in a, you know, a really fast-paced kind of cutthroat city like New York. You know, human connection is possible.
The name of it is Going Dutch. It is by James Greger. James, thank you so much for joining us on All of It.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. I'll meet you at the top of the hour.